नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनि नामिनि नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। Last week we started the 8th chapter. I think last two sessions we have been discussing from the 8th chapter. So in the So in the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna discussed about Guni Bhuta Bhakti or secondary bhakti. Where bhakti is secondary and karma, jnana and yoga are primary. So in the third chapter and fourth chapter, Krishna discussed about sakama karma yoga and nishkama karma yoga. In the fifth chapter, he discussed about jnana yoga. And in the sixth chapter, he discussed about ashtanga yoga. So then in the seventh chapter, he introduced the concept of predominant bhakti and pure bhakti. So maya sakta manapartha yogam yanjan madashraya asamshayam samadrammam itagyasyasi tachunu. So through those kind of verses he introduces pure devotional service, and then talking about and then he talks also about pradani bhuta bhakti, where bhakti is predominant but there is a mixture of karma, jnana and yoga. So he introduces this in Chaturvidha Bhajante Mam Jana Sukratino Arjuna Arto Jigyasur Arthaarthi Jnani Cha Bhartarishabha. The four kinds of people who surrender unto him, Arto, Arthaarthi and Jigyasu are Karma Mishra Bhaktas, and the Jnani is the Jnana Mishra Bhakta. These are described, and then later towards the end of the chapter he discusses one more kind of devotee who takes shelter of Krishna by performing predominant bhakti, but with a desire for liberation. So that he discusses in the 7th chapter, 29th verse. Jara marana mokshaya mama ashritya yatantiye te brahma tad viduk krishnam adhyatmam karma chakilam. So here Krishna is telling that, but those yogis who mama ashritya, by taking shelter of me, Jara marana mokshaya yatanti, who strive for freedom from birth and death, te kritsnam viduhu, such people should very clearly know Brahma, tad Brahma, the Brahman and the Jiva. They should know about not see the translation, because Krishna is not clearly explaining to Arjuna what is the meaning of Brahma, Adhyatma, Karma. Okay. So because, and Arjuna will ask these questions in the next chapter. So those who aspire those who take shelter of Krishna and aspire for liberation, such will know about Brahma, Adhyatma, Karma. Okay. And then in the next verse he says, Sadi Bhutadi Daivam Mam Sadi Yagyam Chaye Viduhu Prayana Kale Abhichamam Te Vidur Yukta Chetasa. So he says, those people who know me as the Adibhuta, Adidaiva, or those people who know the Adibhuta, Adidaiva, and the Adiyagya, such people are fixed in knowledge and such people will know Krishna even at the time of death. Such people will know me even at the time of death. Like this, Krishna introduced these various terminologies towards the end of 7th chapter without properly discussing what exactly those terminologies mean. So, in the next chapter, actually, Arjuna starts asking these questions. So So he says that he asked these questions. Kim tad brahma kim adhyatma kim karma purushottama adibhutam cha kim proktam adidaivam kim uchyate adiyajna katam kotra dehen madhusudana prayana kale cha katam geyosi niyatatma bihi. Okay. So he says, what is brahma? What is adhyatma? What is karma? What is adibhuta? What is adidaiva? What is adiyajna? And how is that adiyajna known in the body? And how are you to be known at the time of death? So based on whatever Krishna has had mentioned in the last two verses of the previous chapter, Arjuna is asking questions that you have used these terminologies without explaining these terminologies. Kindly explain to me what are these actually. What is this Brahma, Adhyatma, Karma, Adibhuta, Adidaiva, Adiyajna? And how is that Adiyajna to be known within the body? And how are you to be known at the time of death? And Krishna starts answering this question. He says, Aksharam Brahma Paramam Swabhavo Adhyatma Muchyate Bhuta Bhavod Bhavakaro Visarga Karma Sangitaha. So he says that Aksharam Brahma Paramam. The Brahman. Brahman is Paramam Aksharam, is the supreme indestructible entity. Of course, the Jiva is also indestructible, but the supreme indestructible entity is Brahman. So that's how he defines Brahman. And then he says, Swabhavo Adhyatmam Uchyate. So what is Adhyatma? Adhyatma is Swabhava. So he explains how is adhyatmam swam bhavayati iti swabhava, that which produces oneself from the imposition of a body. In other words, it's the jiva, since it creates the body. Swam bhavayati, what is the source of this body? The jiva. And which the jiva is identify that body as that self, therefore the body is called as swam. Swam bhavayati iti swabhava. So, the jiva, which is the cause of this, the jiva with material desire, which is the cause of this material body, which the jiva identifies as the self, is called swabhava. So, the jiva refers to, swabhava refers to the jiva. Kim tad brahma kim adhyatma. Sorry, swabhavo adhyatma muchyate. Okay, swabhava is jiva, and the jiva is addressed here as adhyatma. Okay. So, or he also says, Swabhava can also mean, Swa means the Lord, Bhava means that which causes the birth of the Lord, or that which causes the attainment of the Lord is called as Swabhava. In that case, it refers to the purified Jiva. So, the purified Jiva who is qualified to realize the Paramatma, he is called Swabhava. In either case, Swabhavo Adhyatma Uchyate, the Jiva is called as Adhyatma. And then he says, Bhuta Bhavod Bhavakaro Visarga Karma Samgitaha. Karma refers to the transmigration arising from the creation of bodies made of material elements. So karma is that force which causes transmigration of living entities from one body to another body. So that transmigration, the principle or the basis of the transmigration is called as karma. Like that he describes Brahma, Adhyatma and Karma. Three terminologies are described in the, are explained in this third verse. And in the fourth verse he says, Adibhutam Kshorobhavaha Purushascha Adidaivatam Adiyajnoham Evatra Dehe Deha Vritambara. So he says that Adibhutam Kshorobhavo, that which deteriorates and gets destroyed, or that which is temporary, is called as adibhuta. So that which means it refers to the body, or the temporary material objects are they refer to the adibhutam. Purushascha adidaivatam. Adidaiva refers to the universal body of the Lord, or the universe. The universe is called Adidaivata, or the Virat Purusha. And Ahameva, I, on the other hand, is the Adiyagya. I am the Adiyagya. Ahameva Adiyagyam Atra Dehe. I am the super soul who is situated in every body. O Deha Britamara, O best amongst the embodied souls, Arjuna, I am the super soul situated in everyone's body. So in this way, he describes what is Adibhuta, Adidaiva, and Adiyagya. So Adibhuta refers to the material objects, including the material body, which are bound to get destroyed and temporary. And Adidaiva refers to the universal body of the Lord. And Adiyagya refers to the Krishna in this expansion as a super soul who is present in everyone's body. Okay. So, like that. So, Adidaiva refers to the person representing the totality of the universe. So, this is... he within whom all devatas exist as his subjects, you know. So like that. So then next Krishna says, Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram yap prayati samadbhavam yati nastyatra samshayaha. So he says, Krishna says that Antakale, at the point of death, yaha, that person, Muktva Kalevaram Prayati, who leaves his body, gives up his body and leaves. Mam Eva Smaran. The word Smaran is explained as knowing me in truth. It's not just remembrance, it is actually knowing Krishna in truth. So, Saha, that person, Mad Bhavam Yati, he attains a nature similar to me. Atra Nasti Samshayaha, of this there is no doubt, O Arjuna, Krishna says. Okay, so that's what this verse says. So this refers to know Krishna in truth. Not just actually remembering Krishna, and that such kind of remembrance also is not possible at the time of death. So this verse answers the question, how are you to be known at the time of death? Smaran means remembering me, knowing me in truth, not like knowing pots or cloth. So that is not the meaning of knowing. Not like, oh, I know this is a pot. No. Knowing means realization of Krishna. And what does it mean? You know, as Krishna says, what is 3.9? Verse number 3.9. What is that? Tektva deham punarjanma naiti mameti so Arjuna. What is that verse? What is the beginning of that? Can someone help me? Tektva deham janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvatah tektva deham punarjanma naiti mameti so Arjuna, as Krishna says. So one who understands the birth and activities of Krishna, one who knows it in truth, such a person, after giving up the body, he shall not take birth again, but he attains Krishna. Sorry, 4.9, not 3.9. Thank you. Yeah, correct, 0.9. So, therefore, and then in the next verse he says, what does it mean to know in truth the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth and activities? Krishna says, Vita raga bayakroda manmaya mam upashyata bahavo jnana tapasa puta madbhava magata. He says, such a person who understands Krishna in truth, he is Vita Raga. such a person is free from attachment to all other kinds of false philosophies which talk about Krishna's body to be material, Krishna's activities to be illusory, like that. He is not attached to any of these kind of false theories. Vita raga, vita bhaya. And when someone speaks these kind of philosophies, he is not afraid because his realizations are very firmly fixed. And vita krodha. And he is also, he does not become very angry upon seeing personalities who speak these false philosophies because he is absorbed in Krishna. Manmaya. Manmaya means Krishna, his mind is completely fixed in Krishna. So, you know, what? How do you know that a person has clearly understood the nature of fire? Okay. So, one who has understood the nature of fire, he will certainly not touch fire. Right? He will not touch fire. But if he goes to touch fire, which means he has not understood the nature of fire. So, if one has really understood the nature of Krishna, which is what Krishna is telling here as smaran. So, smaran means to know him in truth. To know him in truth means one cannot think of anything else but Krishna. Manmaya. Mam upashrita means such a person has fully taken shelter of Krishna, which means manmaya refers to anyabhilashita shunyam. And mam upashrita refers to jnana karma dhyanavrutam. He has taken shelter of Krishna through the path of Navada Bhakti, which is not touched by jnana karma yoga, etc. Bhavo jnana tapasa puta madbhava magata. And such a person, again he says, madbhavam agataha. And same thing Krishna says here. Antakalesha mameva smaran muktva kalevaram ya prayatisam madbhavam yati nastyatra samshayaha. Madbhavam yati. Same thing he says. Madbhavam agataha. That's what is mentioned here. And the method of knowing or remembering the Lord is now explained in verses. So, in the next 14 verses, the method of understanding the Lord or attaining the Lord will be described. So, we were discussing last time. So, therefore, this last minute trying to go and chant for the devotee who is trying to leave his body, as we mentioned, even though this might sound very harsh and rude, but in reality, it is not going to drastically change their destination. Because you may say, why are you speaking so mean? So, I mean, I'm not speaking mean, but it is but fair only in one sense. Because throughout the life, if one has, then it is, If you say that whatever you do, anything you may do throughout your life, at the end of your life, if everyone comes and chants for you, then it will drastically change your destination. Does not really give a solid impetus to actually put proper effort while one is living in realizing Krishna. So that sounds very not so reasonable actually. So yes, that does it mean that we should not go to chant either the holy name or read Bhagavatam or Krishna book to those who are leaving their body? No, we should do it. So what does it accomplish? If someone has already made like 50% progress, that last effort which all the devotees with great intensity are trying to come and give, it will enhance it. It will make 52%, 54%, 55%. But to say that if someone has made only 5%, 10% progress in bhakti, just in the last 10 minutes, if someone comes and chants, that 90% is covered is very unreasonable. Generally, that does not happen. But certainly, it does help a person who is giving up his body. So Krishna says, యం యం వాపి స్మరణ్ భావం త్యజత్యంతే కళేవరం తం తమేవైతి కౌంతేయ సదా తద్భావ భావితః. వాట్ ఎవర్ వన్ థింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ వెన్ లీవింగ్ ద బాడీ, వన్ అటైన్స్ అ స్టేట్ సిమిలర్ టు దట్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఆఫ్ కాన్స్టెంట్ థాట్. యు సీ హియర్ సదా తద్భావ భావితః, హియర్ ఇస్ ద హింట్ హియర్. Already in this verse, there is a hint. So he says, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajati ante kalevaram. Whatever one thinks of while giving up one's body, tam tam eva eti. One attains a state similar, sada tadbhava vitaha, of that object of constant thought, O Kaunteya. Which means, whatever has been the object of constant thought, only that thing one will be able to remember at the time of death. So nothing is going to drastically change. And it is very unreasonable to put so much, weightage just to devotees coming and chanting. To even hope that will drastically change is unreasonable. But that does not mean it will have no change. It can have a good change, but not that it will really push them from the stage of anarthana vritti directly to prema. That certainly cannot happen, because that would mean very unreasonable. That would be very unreasonable actually. Okay. This might sound very harsh. Please forgive me if it sounds harsh, but this is reality. Because only the object that we have been constantly thinking throughout the life, that will only be, we will be able to think at the time of death. Okay, that is reality. That's what he is telling here. This verse explains that just as by remembering me one attains me, so by remembering something else one attains that object. Being influenced by constant thoughts of that object, a person becomes similar to that object. Okay, so therefore sada tadbhava bhavitah leads to smaran bhavam tyajatyante kalevaram. Whatever one has remembered, whatever has been one's constant thought, the one's constant thought, that's what one will be able to remember at the time of death. So this is where we ended our discussion last week. Of course, last week we could not have, I'm sorry, I had to cancel the session because of my hard disk crash. So whatever I could recover from that, I am, you know, running the show, and hopefully things will get better in the coming days. Let's continue our discussion. But before we continue our discussion, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add, based on whatever we discussed last time and whatever we have summarized today, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, we can take. You can either raise your hands or you can type your questions in the chat box, whatever you feel comfortable. There is something in the chat box already. Let's try to take that. Last time you said that we should be worried about attaining prema for the Lord and not be in anxiety whether I will remember Krishna or not. So now my anxiety is gone. Yeah. So ultimately, only a sadhaka, only when he reaches prema, he will go back home, back to Godhead. That is very clearly mentioned in the Bhakti Shastra. So that is reality. That is what is reality. Yes. Vahini Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Am I audible, Prabhuji?
Yes, Mataji.
Yeah. So, this is regarding the previous verse where we mentioned Swabhav, you know, Swabhav's definition. Mm-hmm. So, it looks like as if it is fixed, you know, it doesn't change, you know.
Let me clarify. The word swabhava has multiple meanings. In this particular context, the word swabhava refers to the soul. But generally, when we use the word swabhava refers to one's conditioned nature. Generally, that is the usage. In this particular context, it refers to the soul. So, yeah. So, when you say
if we take it as conditioned nature,
yeah.
So then the dilemma is like, is it fixed or is it can it change? You know, with devotees association, like you know, influence of devotees association.
Let me ask you, Mataji, from your own experience, have you at all experienced any change in your swabhava by the association of devotees, or zero?
No, there are few things which can change, but few things seem to be fixed. You know,
across few things to be fixed across how much time, Mataji?
Like I had a word with Nirmal Chand Prabhu and you know Mataji that what are the features that remain same? Like if we talk about Rajogun, Tamogun, and Sattvagun, and the nature, the swabhav, the prakriti. You know, so they said that it's kind of fixed. You know, it gets formed while you know a soul is conceived, and it remains fixed throughout the life. And few things are affected. You know, few that prakriti doesn't, but it doesn't change totally.
Okay.
So I got a little confused that you know if it is fixed, then how do we work upon it? How does the devotees association help us? Because it's like the match is fixed. Now you can't do much about it.
Well, okay. I would, maybe the constitution of the body in terms of the, you know, the proportion of kapha, vata and pitta,
yeah,
that may
yeah.
remain fixed. But uh-huh. when we are talking about our swabhava, terms of our influence of sattvagun, rajogun, tamogun, to say that it does not change, that may be correct generally in terms of the Ayurvedic knowledge, because again Ayurveda, even though it is from the scriptures, but it is not a transcendental science, it is a material bodily science. So therefore the Ayurvedic conclusions need not necessarily conform to the conclusions of the Bhakti Shastras. So, so therefore, yes, in terms of the proportion of kapha, vata, pitta, that may not change. But to say that the proportion of sattvagun, rajogun, tamogun will also not change is a direct contradiction of the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, which says tada rajastamo bhava kamalobhadayasthaye chetayetairana viddam sthitam sattve prasidati. Very clearly there is a mention of the subduing of rajogun and tamogun, and sattva becoming prominent, and gradually sattva also getting subdued and one getting established in transcendence. That certainly happened. So
okay,
so I mean, if that see, yes, so the shastras do say swabhavo duratikrama. So that swabhava is very difficult to overcome. Yes, very difficult to overcome, because it is very rare that people accept the path of bhakti. Therefore, from that point of view, it is very rare that someone overcomes their swabhava. But even otherwise, how did one to ascribe it just to birth is also a very short-sighted understanding. Because how did one swabhava even get formed? That swabhava got formed by accumulation of vasanas and experiences over many, many lifetimes. Gradually it got formed. So so actually one swabhava has changed. So it is why you know, one is born with, one may be born with a very strong Brahminical inclination, but if the proper samskaras are not made, then gradually that person deteriorates and starts exhibiting qualities of being a shudra. So so the swabhava has changed. So swabhava definitely changes. One's conditioned nature definitely changes, for sure. And by practice of bhakti, gradually it gets destroyed and the transcendental nature manifests. So to say that the swabhava does not change is not correct, actually.
Yeah. I think I got confused between the prakriti part, like the vat, pit and kaph. That constitution, I think, gets decided at the time of birth. And there are other influences also, he had explained to me. You know, as with growth, it does vary, but some of it remains constant. Like, you know, if you're by constitution, if you're a kaph prakriti person, then you remain kaph prakriti person, but you can get help and support by other, you know, medication and other stuff to, but yes, the gunas can definitely change, right? And
definitely. Gunas do change.
Yes. Thank you.
Right. Okay. There's another question. During our discussion of second chapter, you had mentioned this verse is not relevant for devotees. Antakale cha mameva. Devotees' last moments are taken care of by Krishna himself. Also for sadhaka devotees. Yeah. Yes. As, you know, Lord Varadaraj tells Ramanujacharya also that because Ramanujacharya had this doubt that if someone has surrendered unto you, if he is not able to remember the time of death, what principle applies here? So if he has surrendered to you, you have promised to take care of him. But at the same time, you have mentioned that if one remembers you at the time of death, only he can attain you. So what if he is not able to remember you but has surrendered unto you? What happens? So Lord Varadaraj says that antima smriti varjanam. For a devotee, at the last minute, he has to remember me is not very mandatory. I don't take that very seriously. Okay. That is one understanding. So, but at the same time, if someone for a practicing pure devotee, if he is at the stage of prema, then at the time of giving up the body, he cannot think of anyone else but Krishna. So, if in a very hypothetical sense, if for some reason, if he is not able to remember Krishna, then, you know, but still, if he has attained the qualification of having attained prema, then that is only taken, actually. So, yes, prema, then he will get, he will attain Krishna in the next birth. You know, or there is no next birth, he will directly attain Krishna. So, that is guaranteed. Okay. So, yes, this is not applicable for devotees. And in one sense, even if devotees may remember Krishna at the time of death, you know, maybe when they are at the stage of ruchi or asakti, at the stage of ruchi or asakti, if they are forced to give up their body, and even if they remember Krishna, they will not attain Krishna. That is the point. They will not attain Krishna. They will have to take birth again, perfect that asakti and come to the stage of bhava and prema, and at the stage of prema, they will attain. So, remembrance or non-remembrance is not critical. What is critical for the devotees to attain Krishna is whether they attain the stage of prema or not. That is what is the most important thing. Okay. There is another question. Yeah, nature can be changed by nurture. And that, yeah, true. By nurturing devotional service. Okay, there is... In North India, there is a saying that Jeevan bhar jis bhav mein ramate, anta samay vahi hriday mein baste. Yes, yeah, that is true. Yeah. Okay, yes, Kesho Priyamathan.
Arekshna Prabhuji Dandavat Pranams. Prabhuji, just now you are explaining, Prabhuji. I just want to know, devotees, sadhaka devotees like us, we are doing some devotional service now, Prabhuji. So, for us, death means like Krishna promises as Svalpam Abhisa Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bhayat. So according to the Prabhupada writes in the purport that if you have done, suppose 1% of bhakti, you will start from second person in the next life. He writes like that, Prabhuji. So for sadhakas, Prabhuji, it's not mandated that we should remember Krishna at the time of death so that we can be born as a devotee. Like whatever we do in the entire lifetime, it will be taken into account, is it, Prabhuji?
Yeah. If you have practiced bhakti even little bit, then human birth is guaranteed. That guarantee.
Human birth, Prabhuji, but from where?
Why human?
Prabhupada says we start from where we leave, no, Prabhuji. That's what I'm asking.
Where we leave does not mean right from the womb. Where we leave means.
No, Prabhuji, bhakti percentage alone, not the birth. Bhakti percentage, Prabhuji. Suppose I have done 20% bhakti in this lifetime and I'm leaving, means Prabhuji. Then I'll be born somewhere, but definitely I'll be starting my bhakti from 21% only, no, Prabhuji.
Yes.
I'm asking, then for me, it's remembering Krishna at the time of death is not that big issue, no, Prabhuji. Anyways, I'm going to be born as, I mean, Krishna will be putting me somewhere and he will be giving favorable situation for me to do that bhakti, no, Prabhuji.
Yes.
And that's what I wanted to ask, Prabhuji. Okay, yeah. Hare Krishna, thank you.
Yeah, birth is guaranteed because in order to perform bhakti, one can only practice bhakti if one is a human being. Nirmatrasya adhikarita. So one has to be a human being to practice bhakti. So if one has practiced even 0.01% of bhakti, if he has started bhakti and given up his life, human birth is guaranteed. And that human birth also is not decided by karma. That human birth is decided by Krishna. So there is, even if a person starts bhakti and just 0.01% if he has performed bhakti, then his next birth is not decided by karma. His next birth is decided by Krishna only. And that birth is guaranteed human birth to continue from where he had left off. That is guaranteed. Anything else before we move on to today's discussion? Okay. If there is none, we will continue our discussion further. So, Krishna has given this principle of yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tejatyante kalevaram tam tameva iti kaunteya sada tadbhavitaha. He says, whatever one remembers while leaving the body, one attains a state similar to that object which he has been meditating throughout. So whatever is the object of our constant thought, only that be the object of our meditation at the time of death. So if one is not able to think of Krishna constantly while living, then while leaving he cannot think of Krishna. It is not possible. So that smaran should not be taken as remembrance. Even if you take it as remembrance, that kind of a remembrance at the time of death is not possible if one is not practiced to remember Krishna throughout the life. If Krishna is not one's constant object of thought, Krishna cannot be the object of thought at the time of death. So there is no magic that suddenly out of nowhere that incidental possibility is not there. There may be some exceptions where Krishna might want to give extraordinary kripa to some people. But this is generally not the case. One has to earn it, and that is the only way. Okay. Some magic will not happen at the last time, at the last minute. So to even have such kind of expectations is unreasonable, actually. Like that. So, let us continue our discussion now. Therefore, Krishna comes to a conclusion here. So, Krishna says, Tasmat. So, he says, just give me a second. तस्मात् सर्वेषु कालेषु मामनुस्मरयु च मय्यर्पित मनोबुद्धिर् मामे वैश्यस्य संशयः तस्मात् देयरफोर सर्वेषु कालेषु एट ऑल टाइम्स माम अनुस्मर युद्ध्य च रिमेंबरिंग मी यू शुड फाइट विच मीन्स एट ऑल टाइम्स इफ यू रिमेंबर कृष्णा देन यू विल बी एबल टू रिमेंबर कृष्णा एट द टाइम ऑफ डेथ सो देयरफोर सो इफ वी आर डिस्कसिंग अबाउट remembering Krishna at the time of death. So therefore, if he starts the next verse with the word tasmad, therefore, ideally Krishna says, tasmad antakale mameva anusmara. Therefore, at the time of death, you should remember me, O Arjuna. He should say like that. But Krishna says, tasmad sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha. At all times, remember me and fight. He says, which means unless that is not possible, it will not be possible to remember Krishna at the time of death. So he says, asamshayah, if you remember me and fight at all times, without a doubt, mai arpita mano buddhihi, one whose intelligence and mind are offered to me, mam eva eshyasi, he attacks me. Okay. So therefore, it is not just remembrance. It is offering of one mind and intelligence to Krishna. That is the meaning of smaran here. So smaran does not mean casual remembrance. Are aaj aapka yaad aaya mujhe. Not like that. Are aapke bare mein, you know, somehow out of nowhere I was thinking of you. You know, that kind of remembrance is not what Krishna is talking about here. So that is not the kind of remembrance. Remembrance means mayarpita mano buddhihi, offering of one's mind and intelligence. Offering of the mind means one is consumed by Krishna. One is consumed by Krishna, which means one cannot think of anyone else but Krishna. One's thoughts are completely consumed by Krishna. Krishna graha grihitatma. As it is mentioned about Prahlad Maharaj. That is the meaning of mai arpita mana. And buddhi means, buddhi is always guiding that person constantly as to anukulyasya sankalpo pratikulyasya varjanam. The mind creates. So what is the role of the mind? Mind creates the decision to think of me. The intelligence creates the determination to remain fixed in thinking of me. Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam astiram tatas tato niyamya itad atmanyeva vasham naye. Mind says, okay, let us think of Krishna. Krishna is the only object of meditation. We should meditate on Krishna. And then suddenly, when the mind starts going somewhere, the intent says, come back. Stay focused. Stay determined. So, mai arpita mano buddhir means the mind has taken a decision to think of Krishna, and the intelligence is supporting that decision by helping the mind to remain determined and fixed in thinking of Krishna. That is the meaning of mai arpita mano buddhihi. So therefore, it is not casual remembrance of Krishna. So when Krishna says smaran, the meaning of that smaran is mai arpita mano buddhihi. Mind and intelligence are completely offered to Krishna. Which means one is able to, without interruption, meditate only on Krishna. And this is possible only at the stage of bhava and prema, not before that. Uninterrupted, especially at the time of death. Right? But someone may say, how can I constantly think of you. It is not very easy to constantly think of you. And you are telling, constantly think of me and fight also. Either think or I can fight. To think and fight simultaneously is not very easy. How can I do that? So Krishna says, Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanya gamina paramam purusham devyam yati partha anuchintayan. Anuchintayan. Continuously contemplating me. Chetasa abhyasa yoga yuktena. With the mind engaged, the practice of repeated remembrance. So abhyasa yoga means abhyas karna. Repeated practice. Okay. If you cannot naturally remember me, then practice to remember me continuously. So one should practice to remember Krishna continuously. Na anyagamina, without deviation. Paramam purusham divyam yati. One attains the transcendental supreme person. If one learns to practice repeated remembrance without deviation, okay, that is possible. Right? Therefore, that person who practices remembrance of me during his life will naturally remember me at the time of death, and by that he will attain me. This is clear, right? So therefore, that person who practices remembrance of me during his life will naturally remember me at the time of death. There is no magic formula there. Therefore, remembering me by the mind is the highest yoga that is expressed in this verse. Like that. Abhyasa means to repeatedly remember me. Abhyasa means to repeatedly remember me. The mind should be engaged in this method. The mind should be engaged in this method of repetition of remembering. Repeatedly. So which means one should practice it. So Krishna's formula is very simple throughout Bhagavata. He says something. Okay. One should spontaneously remember me. He says, oh, that is very different. So that is very difficult to do. And Krishna says, okay, practice doing it. So if something does not naturally come, Krishna's only recommendation in Bhagavad Gita is practice doing it. By practice, you will attain perfection. It should not wander to other objects of remembrance. By this practice, one will conquer the nature of mind. So, this principle comes in the 12th chapter also. This principle comes in the 12th chapter. Oh, someone said the same thing. The 12th chapter also the same thing is mentioned about practice. Thank you. Yes. In the 12th chapter also same thing Krishna says. Krishna says, Mayeva mana adatsva. The first thing he says is, Mayeva mana adatsva. Then he says, Mai buddhim niveshaya. Nivashishyasi mayyeva ata urdvam nashamshayaha. Then he says, Chittam samadatum nashaknosi mayisram Abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptam dananjaya. Abhyasa yoga. He talks about it third. We will see what it means. Then he says, Abhyase api asamartosi matkarma paramo bhavan madartam api karmani kurvan siddhim avapsasi. He says, if you cannot do Abhyasa Yoga, then he says, Mat Karma Paramo Bhavan. Mat Karma Paramo Bhavan. He says. So, Ata etadapi ashaktosi. What is the next verse? Ata etadapi ashaktosi. So this is 8, 9, 10. What is 12.11? Can someone tell? Ata etadapi ashaktosi. Sarva karma falatyagam. So next he talks about sarva karma falatyagam. Sarva karma falatyagam. Okay. What is 12.11? Can someone help me with that? Bhagavad Gita 12.11. What is that verse? Atayeta dapyashaktosi. Kartum madhyoga maashritaha sarva karma falatyam kurvan kartum madhyoga maashritaha sarva karma falatyagam kurvan napnoti kilbisham, something like that, right? What is the last line? Tathah karma yatatmavan. Tathah karma yatatmavan. Okay, so what does Krishna says here? So mayeva mana adatsva, which means your mind should naturally flow to me. So this is called as smaranatmika bhakti. Okay, so this smaranatmika bhakti is the topmost, and this happens at the stage of bhava and prema, where the mind cannot think of anything else other than Krishna. It naturally flows. Toyi me ananya vishaya matir madupate asakrit ratim udvahata dadda gange vogam udanvati. Okay. But if someone is not able to do that, he says, mayi buddhim niveshaya. Sharpen your intelligence so that your intelligence can be more determined. Okay. Take shelter of the guidance of the scriptures. So whenever the mind goes here and there a little bit, taking shelter of your intelligence, bring it back. So this is called as mananatmika. Mananatmika bhakti. Okay. This also is very high, you know, very high, like ruchi asakti, like that. Okay. And then he says abhyasa yoga. Abhyasa yoga means what? Whenever the mind runs here, pull it back and fix it in Krishna. Then when the mind runs here and there, pull it back and fix it in Krishna. And when the mind again runs back, pull it back and fix it on Krishna. So this is called as abhyasa yoga. So this also is possible only when the mind is sometimes running away. But if the mind is always somewhere out, not at all thinking of Krishna, this constant pulling back of the mind can make one completely exhausted and tired, demoralize a person. So for this also, one should be fairly advanced, at least at the stage of Nishta one has to be. So at Nishta, sometimes the mind goes here and there so that one can pull it back. But if one is at the stage of anarthanavritti, severe anarthanavritti, there is a lot of anarthas, and if the mind is always standing outside, never coming inside to think about Krishna, then this practice will be very, very, very difficult to perform. So Krishna gives, okay, sometimes you may find even this very difficult. So he says, matkarma paramo bhavan. So here he says, forget about engaging your mind, just engage your senses. Forget about engaging your mind, just engage your senses. Okay? Because senses are the gateway to the mind. Because mind actually meditates on those objects which the senses have gathered through their actions. You know, mind will be meditating on that object, on that form it saw through eyes. or mind may be meditating on that food that the tongue tasted, that a person tasted through his tongue, or mind may be meditating on that wonderful fragrance which the nose, which the person experienced through his nose, or the mind may be meditating on that beautiful music which the person experienced through his ears, like that. So mind, so the gateway to the mind are the gyanendriyas, the indriyas which accumulate all these objects of sense gratification. So therefore he says, if your mind is extremely agitated, it is always running here and there to objects of sense gratification, then forget about engaging the mind in Krishna. Start engaging your senses. Because what happens, by that, at least the fresh impressions which the senses are accumulating and passing on to the mind, that will all be Krishna conscious. Savai mana Krishna padaravindayor. At least if that is not happening, vacham vaikunta gunanu varnane karau harer mandira marjanadishu shutim chakara achyuta sattatodaye mukunda linga alaya darshane drishau tad vritya gatra sparishanga sangamam, and so on. Okay, so you know, all the senses are engaged in Krishna conscious activities, so that the impressions are accumulated by the senses and passed on to the mind are all Krishna conscious. Then gradually the mind will have no choice but to meditate on, and that is the nature of the mind. The nature of the mind is that it will initially rebel when you stop something, but after some minute it realizes that, okay, this is reality, then the mind will try to make the best use of the bad bargain. Whatever you offer the mind will try to search for the best amongst the available pleasures. Okay. Mind will search for the best amongst the available pleasure. That is the nature of the mind. So slowly, therefore, Krishna says, if mind is too difficult to control, don't try controlling the mind. That will not work. Try controlling the senses. Try engaging the senses. Give favorable Krishna conscious engagement to the senses. So when the senses are constantly engaged in Krishna conscious activities, then the mind will start getting only Krishna conscious vasanas. Gradually, over a period of time, mind will start searching for the most pleasurable amongst the available vasanas that is given to the mind through the senses. So that is the point. So therefore, many times we actually say that mechanical devotional service is not so good. Yes, true. Mechanical devotional service is actually not so good. That is true. But in reality, spontaneous devotional service is beyond our scope, because we are at the stage of spontaneous sense gratification only. Okay. So we talk about the stage of spontaneous devotional service. And we say that spontaneous devotional service, or applying your heart to the devotional service, is higher than mechanical devotional service. Which is very correct, true. But in reality, we are not at the stage of mechanical devotional service. We are actually at a stage even below that. We are at a stage of spontaneous sense gratification. Okay. So we are at a stage of spontaneous sense gratification. So therefore, devotional service has to be done only mechanically. Okay. It cannot be done spontaneously. Right. So So to the beginning, actually mechanical devotional service is better than spontaneous sense gratification. Only when mechanical devotional service is performed, then gradually there will be some spontaneity that the mind will start developing towards devotional service. Otherwise, I often share this anecdote, which is very, very funny, but very deep anecdote. Once, I have shared this. Some of you must have heard this many times from me. His Holiness Gaur Krishna Maharaj was there. Now he is present back. So he asked one of the devotees, "Roj sola mala ho raha hai ki nahi? You know, are you chanting 16 every day?" So the devotee responded, "Nahi Maharaj, nahi ho raha hai. No Maharaj, it's not happening." So Maharaj asked, "Kyun nahi ho raha hai? Why is it not happening?" The devotee said, "Man nahi lag raha hai Maharaj. You know, man nahi lag raha hai. So sola mala karne ke liye, you know, my mind is not cooperating." So Maharaj asked them in response, "So nahi karega to lag jayega man? If you don't do, will your mind become very favorably disposed to doing it?" That's what. So which means, if the mind is not cooperating, the senses must engage nevertheless, at least in the bare minimum recommended activities. Only because the source of the sense objects for the mind is provided by the senses only. So therefore, the senses have to provide favorable objects of meditation for the mind. So therefore, mechanical devotional service, yes, it is inferior to spontaneous devotional service, but you should understand that we are not even at the stage of mechanical devotional service, most of us. We are at the stage of spontaneous, sorry, this is not devotional service. This is spontaneous sense gratification. We are mostly at the stage of spontaneous sense gratification. If we don't engage our senses in Krishna conscious activities, our senses will naturally gravitate towards objects of sense gratification. So therefore, it is needed that मन लगे या ना लगे, इंद्रियों को तो लगाना ही चाहिए. यू नो, वेदर अवर माइंड इज कोऑपरेटिंग और नॉट, द सेंसेस हैव टू एंगेज इन कृष्णा कॉन्शियस एक्टिविटीज लाइक दैट. सो हियर कृष्णा इज टेलिंग अभ्यास योग युक्तेन. सो ही सेज ट्राई प्रैक्टिसिंग, प्रैक्टिस एंगेजिंग योर माइंड इन कृष्णा सर्विस, बट इफ यू कैनॉट engage your mind, then at least engage your senses. Like that. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add. There is one hand up. Shyamali Mataji.
Yeah. Prabhuji, so we have this, whenever we have this discussion, we talk about dovetailing whatever we are doing and offering the results to Krishna or doing it for Krishna, whatever we like doing, we start from there.
Yes.
Somewhere I had heard or you mentioned sometime that Yat Karoshi is karma mishrit bhakti, that is not pure bhakti. So isn't, what is the difference then?
Okay. Very good point. Even though we have not come to that section of Bhagavad Gita yet, but often it is mentioned, Yat Karoshi Yadashnati Yajjuhosi Dadasiyat Yat Tapasyasi Kaunteya Satkurushva Madarpanam. So where it seems like Krishna tells to Arjuna that whatever you do and whatever you eat and whatever sacrifice you perform, offer it to me, that Krishna says. And the acharyas explain this is not exactly Shuddha Bhakti. This is Mishra Bhakti. This is mixed devotional service. But here we are also talking about engaging in limbs of devotional service which we like. Okay. But that yad karoshi refers to whatever activity we may perform. That may not be an activity which is according to the guidelines of the scriptures, especially according to the guidelines of the Shuddha Bhakti Shastras. But here, among Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sukhyamatma, Nivedanam, amongst these nine limbs of devotional service, or the secondary limbs of devotional service, we may choose to perform activities which we may like more. So that is different from Yatkaroshi Dashnasi, because Yatkaroshi Dashnasi, those activities may not necessarily be devotional activities also. Is that relevant, Mataji?
Yeah, yes. Thank you. Thank
you. Hare Krishna. Anything else anyone would like to share as add before we move forward? Okay. So here Krishna says that continuously contemplating me with mind engaged in practice of repeated remembrance. If you cannot remember me continuously, then practice to remember me continuously. That is what Krishna says here. Okay. So such a person attains transcendental supreme person. So therefore, that person who practices remembrance of me during his life will naturally remember me at the time of death, and by that he will attain me. Therefore, remembering me by the mind is the highest yoga. Okay, that is expressed in this verse. So, then Krishna continues. So the question is, how does one practice remembering Krishna at all the time? So how does one practice remembering Krishna? At all time. So that is what he is going to discuss now. Of course, this practice is actually Yoga Mishra Bhakti. We discussed that he is describing Pradhani Bhuta Bhakti, predominant Bhakti. He is not talking about pure Bhakti yet. So here now he is going to speak about Yoga Mishra Bhakti. Through Yoga Mishra Bhakti, how do you remember Krishna at all the time? So Yoga Mishra Bhakti means where Bhakti is predominant, but it is mixed with the principles of yoga. It is not pure devotional service. So Krishna says, Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram Anoraniyam Samanusmaredyah Sarvasya Dataram Achintya Rupam Aditya Varnam Tamasaparastat Prayana Kale Manasachalena Bhaktya Yukto Yoga Balena Chaiva Bhruvor Madhye Pranam Aveshya Samyak Satam Param Purusham Upeti Divyam. He says, Prayana Kale, at the time of death, Yaha Bhaktya Yukto, a person endowed with devotion. Of course, here devotion refers to predominant devotion, not pure devotion. This will become very clear. Now, in this very verse, this will become clear. At the time of death, a person endowed with devotion, achalena manasa, an unwavering mind, bruvor madhye pranam aveshya samyak, who concentrates between the brows. Okay. So, this is a yogic practice. Who fixes his concentration in between the brows? Yoga balena chaiva. Through the strength of the yoga practice. So how he is able to concentrate between the brows? Through the strength of yoga practice. Yoga balena chaiva. Ashtanga yoga balena chaiva. Through the practice of Ashtanga yoga. On the strength of the practice of Ashtanga yoga, he fixes his mind between the eyebrows. and Anusmared, and he remembers Kavim Puranam Anushasitaram, and remember that person who is omniscient. Kavim means omniscient, Puranam means beginningless, Anushasitaram means the teacher, Anoraniyamsam, smaller than the smallest, Sarvasya Dhataram, the container of everything, Achintya Rupam, who has a form which is inconceivable, Aditya Varanam, and an independent form like the sun, Tamasaparastat, and who is above the tamas of Prakriti, Satam Param Purusham Upeti Divyam. That person, right, is a transcendental supreme person. Divyam Paramam Purusham Upeti. He attains the transcendental supreme person. Okay. So this is the practice of Yoga Mishra Bhakti, where bhakti is predominant, but it is definitely tinged with yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. At the time of death, the person endowed with predominant devotion, with unwavering mind, he concentrates his mind between the eyebrows by the strength of his Ashtanga Yoga practice, and he remembers that the absolute truth as omniscient, beginningless teacher, smaller than the smallest, the container of everything, inconceivable, an independent form like the sun, and who is above Prakriti. And such a person who meditates in this way attains the transcendental supreme person. So here he says, without the practice of yoga, here yoga is Ashtanga Yoga, it is difficult to withdraw the mind. Without the practice of yoga, it is difficult to withdraw the mind from sense objects. Without withdrawing the mind from the sense objects, it is difficult to think constantly of the Lord. Therefore, one should execute bhakti along with some type of yoga practice. Of course, this instruction is for those who do not have pure devotional faith. This instruction is there for those who do not have pure devotional faith. The Lord here speaks of such bhakti mixed with Ashtanga Yoga, Yoga Mishra Bhakti, in 5 verses. In 5 verses, he is going to speak of Yoga Mishra Bhakti. The Lord is omniscient Kavi. But though one may be omniscient, like Sanaka and others, one may not be eternal. You know, Sanaka, the 4 Kumaras are also omniscient to some extent, not completely like the Supreme Lord. But they may not be eternal. Therefore, the Lord is described as Purana, without beginning. Though he is both omniscient and without beginning, this does not indicate that he becomes the instructor of bhakti as Paramatma. Therefore, he is called Anushasitaram, the teacher who by his mercy gives instructions about devotion to himself when he appears as Krishna or Rama. So, even though the Paramatma can instruct from within, but he is not talking about Paramatma. He is talking about the Lord as Bhagavan. Even though he is merciful, he is still a difficult object to know factually. Oh, Rama I know, Krishna I know, yes, but he is Anoraniyamsam. He is smaller than the smallest, which means he is very subtle and very difficult to understand. Then someone may say, oh, then he is like the jiva, the size of an atom. He says, no, he is also the greatest of the greatest. Anoraniyamsam Anusmaredyah Sarvasya Dhataram. He is also spreading everywhere, since everything is contained within him. Which means one should clearly have an understanding of the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sarvasya Dhataram. He is not just Anoraniyamsam. He is Sarvasya Dhataram also. Thus, he is said to be inconceivable in form, Achintya Rupam. Sarvasya Dhataram Achintya Rupam Aditya Varanam Tamasa Parastat. though he appears of medium size as a human being, his manifestation is independent of all others. Even though he has a form with a size which is Madhyamakara, a medium-sized human form, when he appears as Lord Ramachandra or Krishna, but he is not like any other ordinary person who is dependent on others. Thus, he has a form, Varana, which is like that of the sun, Aditya, revealing both himself and all others. Aditya Varanam means he has a form which reveals, like the sun, which reveals itself and which reveals others. When the sun rises, one can see the sun, and through the sun rays, one can see others also. Thus, even though he is the possessor of Maya Shakti, Prakriti, his form is transcendental to Prakriti or Maya. Tamasap Parastat, Aditya Varnam Tamasap Parastat. So at the time of death, with unwavering mind, engaged in bhakti with constant remembrance of me as described above, the yogi attains me. Which means without bhakti, one cannot attain Krishna. So bhakti is also needed, and this Yoga Mishra Bhakta also practices Ashtanga Yoga along with that. So how does he attain unwavering mind? He attains it through the strength of the practice of yoga, yoga balena. So by the strength of the yoga, he attains unwavering mind, and with that unwavering mind, he is able to remember Krishna by mind engaged in bhakti. So remembrance through bhakti and unwavering mind through yoga. So therefore, this practice is Yoga Mishra Bhakti. So the yoga process is then described. So what is this yoga process? Fixing his prana in the Ajna Chakra, Bhruvor Madhye, he attains me. So the prana, this is, he raises the prana from the Mooladhara Chakra gradually and fixes it at the Ajna Chakra. So this is the yoga practice. So His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj put note. From verse 13, it seems that attaining the Lord means attaining his abode, attaining a distant relationship with the Lord. Because through Yoga Mishra Bhakti, one cannot attain a direct relationship with the Supreme Lord. Because only by Shuddha Bhakti, one can attain a direct relationship with the Supreme Lord in one of the five rasas. So here, by Yoga Mishra Bhakti, one can attain at the most either Salokya Mukti, or one may attain Shantarati, a very distant relationship with Krishna. One cannot directly attain a relationship with Krishna. So he attains me indicate he attains the abode of the Lord, or at the most a very distant relationship like Shantarati, and not actually a relationship in one of the five rasas. Okay. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Any quick questions, comments, discussion points? Okay. If there is none, we will continue our discussion. We still have 10 minutes time. Okay, let's continue. So Krishna continues. Okay, so he says that Yadaksharam Veda Vido Vadanti Vishanti Yadyatayo Vitaraga Yadichanto Brahmacharyam Charanti Tate Padam Sangrahena Pravakshe Sangrahena. Along with the method, te pravakshe, I will speak to you, tat padam, of that final goal, yad, which, Veda vidaha, the knowers of the Veda, vadanti, they call, aksharam, om. Yad yatayaha, that which the sannyasis, vitaragaha, who have given up all attachment, vishanti, they attain. yadichanto and desiring this, brahmacharyam charanti, they practice celibacy. So, along with the method of Yoga Mishra Bhakti, I will also speak to you about the final goal. And what is that final goal? The knowers of the Vedas call this final goal as Aksharam Om. And that which the sannyasis who have given up all attachment attain. And desiring this, one practices celibacy also. Tatte padam sangrahena pravakshya. I will speak to you about this goal also. He says, just by your mentioning that the yogi should concentrate the prana, the agya chakra, I cannot understand this yoga. So he says, oh, what is this? Fixing this prana on the agya chakra, what is this? I don't understand this yoga. What is the manner of doing this yoga? What should be chanted? Upon what should one meditate? What is to be attained by this yoga? Describe all these things. So, briefly you should tell me. Krishna speaks 3 verses to answer him. He says, please listen as I describe what will be factually attained. Please listen as I describe what will be factually attained. Padam, along with the method of attainment. Sangrahena. The goal and the means to attain that goal. I am going to describe about both of these to you. Okay, what is that? That Brahman, which the knowers of the Vedas call Om, which the sannyasis attain. Sangraha is analyzed as the means by which something is completely understood. Samyak grihyate iti sangraha. Samyak grihyate iti sangraha. So, the means by which something is completely understood, that is called as sangraha. Okay. So, like that. So, he says, yadaksharam veda vido vadanti vishanti yad yatayo vitaragaha yadichanto brahmacharyam charanti tatte padam sangrahena pravakshe. Along with the method, I will speak of the final goal, which the knowers of the Vedas call as Aksharam, which the sannyasis who have given up all kinds of attachment attain. And desiring this, they practice Brahmacharya. So what is that goal? And what is the means to attain that goal? I am going to describe this to you in detail. This is what Krishna is telling here. So, what is the method? He says, sarvadvarani sayamya mano hridini rudyacha murdanyadhyatmana pranam astito yoga dharanam omityekaksharam brahma yaharam mam anusmaran yaprayati tyajan deham sayati paramam gatim yaha prayati tyajan deham. He who leaves his body, sarvadvarani sayamya, while withdrawing the senses from the sense objects, this is called as pratyahara. Concentrating the mind in the heart, mano hridi niruddhyacha. Okay, this is dharana. Fixing the prana at the agya chakra, mudanya adhyatmana pranamastitaha. This you can say is dharana. This is all dharana process only. Yoga dharanam. So here the word dharana is used right. Completely absorbing his thoughts in me. Om iti ekaksharam brahma vyaharan. While uttering Om. Ma manusmanan. And in this way constantly remembering me. Sayati paramam gatim. He attains my planet. So paramam gati can be in the highest goal. So here the highest goal is the highest goal possible for such a yogi. Okay. The highest goal possible. So what is his practice? He tries to leave his body while withdrawing all his senses from the sense objects, concentrating his mind in the heart, while fixing his prana in the Ajna Chakra. Because if it is fixed in the Ajna Chakra is very close to the Brahmarandra. So then the soul, the prana can be forced to leave by piercing through the Brahmarandra, it can leave like that. So while doing this, he has completely absorbed his thoughts in me, uttering Om and remembering me constantly, he attains my planet. So he says, elaborating what was previously spoken, the Lord describes the method of yoga. Withdrawing the openings of all the senses, sarvadwarani, from the external objects, confining the mind to the heart with no desire for other objects, fixing the prana between the brows and taking shelter of me completely, yoga dharanam, uttering just one syllable Om, the form of Brahman, and meditating continuously upon me, represented by Om. Giving up this body, he attains salokyam. So he attains salokya mukti. So the Yoga Mishra Bhakta attains salokya mukti. So here, Srila Bhanuswami Maharaj comments, from this statement, it would appear that this Yoga Mishra Bhakta attains a similar state as the three types of Sakama Bhaktas mentioned in chapter 7. Like that. So in this way, he has described Yoga Mishra Bhakti in these few verses. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as had? Okay. If there are no discussion points, comments or questions, then we will pause here and continue this discussion next week. So thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.